God is able. Just those three words, it just shows the power of God. The El Shaddai God, the Almighty God. Just that small phrase, God is able, should transform us inside out. And I'm sure through this series, along with me, that you're all being able to reflect upon the fact that God is able. Sometimes I feel I wish I could put it somewhere to be able to keep reminding myself, God is able. Just as a recap of what we have meditated in the past few weeks, I want you to read it along with me as it is projected here. Let's all read this aloud with faith that He is able. Let us read this together. God is able to save to the uttermost. Hebrews 7:25. Next one. God is able to deliver from the fire. Daniel 2:17. God is able to deliver from the lions. Daniel 6:20. God is able to perform His promise. Romans 4:21. Today we are going to look back into the book of Daniel. Somehow the Lord made me go back. I thought I'm done with Daniel in terms of the ability of God. But God had to remind me and let me know that there is something more to learn from the book of Daniel. For that, let us turn our Bibles to Daniel chapter 4, verse 37. Or you can read the verse together with me as it is projected. You can fill in the blanks, the underlines are there in your sermon notes. You can fill in the blanks as we read it together. First, let us all read this together, please. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the King of heaven, for all His works are true and His ways just, and He is able to humble those who walk in pride. Daniel 4:37. I'll just give a few moments to fill in the blanks. To honor the King of heaven, He is able to humble those who walk in pride. The book of Daniel was originally written in the language called Aramaic. I heard that even Jesus spoke in Aramaic most of the time when He was on this earth. And there are two words in Aramaic on the bottom if you see. Shephal means to bring low, humble, or abase. If you have different English translations, you might see these various words. But the original word is Shephal. And then there is another Aramaic word which is Gava, which means pride. Pride. I think there is no other word that could be replaced or no synonym other than pride itself. So whichever language or English language version that you use, it uses the same word, pride. To bring low, to humble, to abase. Let us read this in Telugu, please, all together. Ilagu Nebuchadnezzaranu nenu Paralokapu Raji yokka karyamulanniyu satyamulanu ayana margamulu nyayamulainnavaniyu garvamuto natinchu varini ayana anupashaktudaniyu ayananu stutinchuchu koniyaduchu ganaparachuchunnanu. Telugu. Now let us read this in Urdu all together, please. Ab main Nebuchadnezzar aasman ke badshah ki satish aur katrim o tazim karta hoon kyunki wo apne kamon mein rast aur apni sab rahon mein adil hai aur jo magruri mein chalte hai unko zaleel kar sakta hai. The same thought process, different languages, but the same word of God. May the Lord speak to us through His living word. Father, gracious God, I pray, Lord, that You may speak to each one of us today from this particular chapter of Daniel 4. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and profitable for instruction, correction, in righteousness, in every way, Lord, in order to be able to exhort us as well So Lord, I pray, Lord, that you may encourage us, exhort us, correct us, and help us, Father, to learn from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Daniel chapter 4. Let's turn our Bibles to Daniel chapter 4. This particular chapter, we are going to look at it. We are going to skim through some of the verses, but this is the chapter that we are going to see. We went through 3 and 6, but chapter 4 also, there is something that we can learn. This particular chapter 4 is a testimony. It is a testimony that is written by a heathen king by name Nebuchadnezzar. It is his own personal testimony written. Some say, Bible scholars say, this is his conversion testimony. We don't know what exactly happened in his inside life, but based on what we read, there is something that we can learn about this king, a great king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. Writing one's testimony and putting it into public is not easy. For somebody to come and share their testimony is one thing, but writing a public letter to the entire world and telling about what has happened in his life is something else. So today we are going to look at that particular aspect. If you were to write a testimony, how would you write about your own personal testimony of what God has done in your life? Charles Haddon Spurgeon, he was encouraged by one verse from Isaiah chapter 55. Please look with me, 45. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 22. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 22. Please, could you please read it? Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, there is no other. Please read it in any other language. 45:22. Isaiah 45:22. Na vaipu chuchi rakshana pondudi. దేవుడు అనువాడని నేనే, మరి ఏ దేవుడు లేడు. త్రూ దిస్ పర్టిక్యులర్ వర్డ్స్ సిహెచ్ స్పర్జన్ వాస్ కన్వర్టెడ్. ఇట్ హ్యాస్ చేంజ్ దిస్ మ్యాన్స్ డెస్టినీ ఫ్రమ్ హెల్ టు హెవెన్, ఫ్రమ్ ఇటర్నల్ డిస్ట్రక్షన్ టు ఇటర్నల్ గ్లోరీ ఇన్ క్రైస్ట్. ఇన్ హిస్ ఓన్ వర్డ్స్ హీ సెడ్ హౌ గాడ్స్ ప్రావిడెన్స్ అండ్ గాడ్స్ గ్రేస్ ఇంటర్సెక్టెడ్ టు సేవ్ హిస్ సోల్ ఫర్ ఎవర్. To save his soul forever. The word of God is powerful enough to be able to change a person forever. There is something that I want us to be able to look at in this particular verse, and in this particular chapter, Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4, he speaks about certain things that have been happening in his life. So I want us to look at that carefully enough, a few verses as we look at it. May the Lord enable us to learn something new from his word. Let's start with verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language that live in all the earth. This is an open letter. In those days, I don't know how it was communicated to everyone, but in this present days, if he was in this present age, probably he must have put it on his wall. Nowadays, the wall, more than this wall, it is a Facebook wall that people think about. Once you put it, the entire world, the people whom you know, get to read it. He is writing something that has happened in his life. Nebuchadnezzar, he writes it. Verse 2, it has seemed good to me to declare the signs and wonders which the Most High God has done for me. Notice this, if you really think about, as you read these verses, there is something that has happened in the life of Nebuchadnezzar. Not an emotional kind when this Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego were put in the fiery furnace. Suddenly he said, oh, your Lord is great, your Lord is great, and all that. But something that has happened in his personal life, it's a personal testimony, he says, it seemed good to me to declare, to show the signs and wonders that the Most High God has done for me. If you were to write your testimony, can you write this way? To be able to say, what God has done for me. What he has done for me. Not what I have done for him. But what he has done for me. He was able to acknowledge the power of God. He was able to acknowledge the ability of God through his personal experience. And no, you know, when he starts his testimony, he just doesn't jump into his story. He tells, I want to share this. And he starts with praising the Lord. Verse 3, how great are his signs, how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. His dominion is from generation to generation. When I was reading through these verses, I was thinking, what must be going on in his life? It was not emotional that he was writing this immediately speaking out. He was talking about something that happened in his life, in his past. And in his present, he's telling how great God is. Not the moment something has happened to somebody else, but over the years, how he has learned, and now he's penning it to the entire world, what has happened in his life. And now from verse 4 starts his testimony. Probably Daniel collected it and put it in terms of his writings, but this is a first person note. Daniel is not writing that Nebuchadnezzar has done this. It's not a second person biography. But if you read chapter 4 entirely, it is an autobiography note that is collected in this particular chapter 4. I, verse 4, Nebuchadnezzar, was at ease in my house and flourishing in my palace. Was at rest in my house, flourishing in my palace. King Nebuchadnezzar, he captured the then world entirely in terms of even capturing Assyria and the entire Babylon area. Remember, I have shown that map as well, including Judah, Israel, everything he captured. Now he was at ease in his house. Who was telling it? He himself was telling it. I was at ease, I was at rest and flourishing, prospering in my palace. Verse 5, I saw a dream. I just wanted to put some pictures just to get an idea as to what kind he was having. As you see this picture, I'm going to read it out. Notice this dream that he had. I saw a dream and it made me fearful. These fancies as I lay on my bed and the visions in my mind kept alarming me. I was getting afraid. I became fearful. Verse 6, so I gave orders to bring into my presence all the wise men of Babylon that they might make known to me the interpretation of the dream. None of them could interpret in verse 7. Then finally, verse 8, finally Daniel came in before me, whose name is Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God at that time, and in whom is the spirit of holy gods. And I related the dream to him, saying, O Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, since I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you and no mystery baffles you, tell me the visions of my dream, which I have seen along with his interpretation. And then he tells his dream. At least this time he remembered his dream. In chapter 2, he didn't even remember his dream. And Daniel had to tell his dream and also the interpretation. But in chapter 4, he remembered his dream, but he did not know the interpretation of that. And now he tells the dream. He says, I was looking in verse 10. I was looking and behold, there was a tree in the midst of the earth and its height was great. This area that Babylon was in almost the center of the whole world. And this particular tree was in the midst of the earth and its height was great. It grew and became strong. Its height reached to the sky or the heavens and it was visible to the end of the whole earth. That was a kind of dream he got. Verse 12. Its foliage was beautiful, its fruit abundant, it was food for all. The beasts of the field found shade under it, birds of the sky dwelt in its branches. All living creatures fed themselves from it. The source
of providence was coming from that tree. Everyone was getting the benefits from that tree, including the birds and the bees and all the living creatures. That was one part of the vision, the tree. The second part of the vision, verse 13, I was looking into the visions in my mind as I lay on my bed, and behold, an angelic watcher, a holy one, descended from heaven. Now he had another dream, another vision. There was a tree and there was an angelic person who came. And you know what he said in verse 14? He shouted out and spoke as follows. Chop down the tree. Chop it off. That big tree that the entire earth is being fed from. What does this person say? The angelic watcher descended from heaven. Chop down the tree. See the picture on the top. Chop it down. And cut off its branches. Strip off its foliage or the leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the beasts flee from away from it and the birds from its branches. Verse 15. Yet, notice verse 15. Yet, leave the stump with its roots in the ground. See the right part of the center image? Leave a part of it, the bottom part of the tree. Leave the stump with its roots in the ground and with a band of iron and bronze around it in the new grass of the field. And let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him share with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let him. Verse 16. Let his mind be changed, or let his heart be changed from that of a man to of a beast. And let 7 periods of time or 7 years of time pass over him. Verse 17. This sentence is by the decree of the angelic watchers. The decision is a command of the holy ones in order that the living may know that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whom he wishes. He sets over it the lowliest of men. This was a dream he had. And he says, Daniel, can you please interpret this dream to me? What is this tree? What is this person coming and chopping off the tree so that everyone gets scattered away? What is happening? I don't understand what is happening. Verse 19, Daniel was appalled, was surprised for a while, and his thoughts alarmed him. Now he was a little alarmed. Oh boy, what is this dream? And the king said, do not be alarmed. And now he tells the interpretation of the dream in verse 20. The tree that you saw, which became large and grew strong, whose height reached to the sky and was visible to all the earth, and whose foliage was beautiful, verse 22, the tree, it is you, O king. Daniel, knowing well that it is being talked about the king himself, God gave him the boldness. He was dare to be a Daniel. He stood in front of the king and said, that tree is you. For you have become great and grown strong, and your majesty has become great and reached to the sky. And now he says, in verse 24, this is the interpretation, O king. This is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king. Notice this carefully. Verse 25. You will be driven away from the mankind. When it is chopped off, when the tree is chopped off, you will be driven away from the mankind, and your dwelling place will be with the beasts of the field. You will be given grass to eat like cattle and be drenched with the dew of heaven 7 periods of time will pass over you until you recognize the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whomever he wishes. And in that it was commanded, notice this carefully, to leave the stump with the roots of the tree. Your kingdom will be assured to you after you recognize that it is heaven that rules. After you recognize the little portion that is left over is that it will be assured to you back if you recognize, after you recognize that it is heaven that rules. Heaven rules. If you have an English Standard Version, it is very clear. It just uses the two words. Heaven rules. Don't think, Nebuchadnezzar, that you are the one who is ruling the earth. God is the one who is doing the work in you. God enabled you to go
and get the people of Israel and Judah to the land of Babylon. God is the one who is ruling. The heaven rules. Let's note it down at the bottom of your sermon notes, just above additional notes. Heaven rules. Wonderful. Small phrase. Heaven rules. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 26. Remember, there is no one else who is more powerful than our God, Most High God. Even the greatest king should be able to acknowledge that heaven rules. He is the one who is ruling. He is the one who is sovereign God. He is a God who has control of everything that is happening in our lives. And here he says, after you know that heaven rules. None of us rule here. Doesn't matter whether it is in our house or in our office or in this country or in this entire world. It is heaven that rules. Remember, heaven rules. Or in other words, the Most High God rules. Notice this verse 27. I really love this. Daniel just didn't stop there. He just didn't interpret the dream and stop it there. He was dare enough to talk to Nebuchadnezzar and said, verse 27, therefore, O king, may my advice be pleasing to you. Break away now from your sins. Break away now from your sins. He is telling the king to come out of his sinful nature. Break away from your sins by doing righteousness and from your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor in case there may be prolonging of your prosperity. Please read in any other language, verse 27. Ni papamalu mani, niti nyayamalana anusarinchi. He had to tell the interpretation of the dream to the point of application of the dream as well. There was observation from Nebuchadnezzar. He was just observing the dream. He didn't understand whatever is going on. There had to be somebody to interpret that dream to him. Not only observation, but interpretation of the dream. He didn't stop there. Verse 27 was application of the dream. What is the application of the dream? Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, break away from your sins. Break away from your sins by doing righteousness, by showing mercy from your iniquities. It is the sinful nature and your iniquities that is causing you to be able to recognize what is going to happen in your life. Oh, my dear, as we look into the fulfillment of the vision from verse 28, may the Lord enable us to learn 6 important things in this particular verses 28 to 36. From verses 28 to 36, we're going to learn 6 aspects of this particular vision, how it was fulfilled. And the first thing that we can see is, you can note it down, reign, R-E-I-G-N, reigning, or in other words, ruling the kingdom. What was going on? That dream has happened. It was interpreted. The application also was told. Now what has happened? Verse 28. All this happened to Nebuchadnezzar the king. All this happened to Nebuchadnezzar the king. Oh, my dear. That is something that you and I need to be able to understand. Daniel was the prophet of God. Daniel was telling what God wanted him to tell. The litmus test for the prophet of God is mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 18. If you can turn your Bibles. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Okay, so let us see certain verses here. Verse 22. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord,
if the thing does not come about or come true, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken, the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, you shall not be afraid of him. So here what he's trying to tell is, if whatever the prophet is telling, if it does not happen, he is a false prophet. If what the prophet is telling is happening, he is the true prophet of God. That is how the word of God tells to see whether a person is a prophet of God, a true prophet of God, or a false prophet. When I read this verse 28, it was so clear to me. In Daniel chapter 4 and verse 28, it says, all this happened to Nebuchadnezzar the king. Everything that Daniel interpreted and applied happened. That is the litmus test of the true prophet of God. And that is why we need to rely on the word of God and share the word of God more than otherwise. There are many people who try to tell that this is going to happen in your life. This is what is going to happen in your life. And I have seen some people coming and telling me that this is what's going to happen. This is what is going to happen to your dad. And many such kind of things they told. But it didn't happen. What made them to tell that? I really question that. If the prophet of God is telling what God is telling them to say, it has to happen. That is why we have to be cautious to be able to know what God is telling. That is why in this present day age, it is the word of God that should be the foundation for anything that we share with anyone. The prophecy that is mentioned in the word of God, more than trying to tell that this is going to happen to you on so and so date, this is going to happen, the world is going to end on so and so date, they try to come up with certain principles that are against the word of God. But Daniel, the man of God, was very clear when he told, because he had a clear revelation from God that he was sharing. For us, the revelation of God is his word. There is no other source other than his word that should be the foundation of whatever we share. And verse 29, what happened? When did it happen? 29. 12 months later, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. Oh, my dear. When I read this, it really touches me. When I was brought to my attention, God was reminding me that you have to go back to Daniel chapter 4. There is something more that you need to learn. I was thinking, Lord, what is there? God is able to humble. God is able to deliver. They're all positive things. But what is this you want me? Lord had to humble me in order to be able to let me share what is happening. No matter what is happening in our lives, my dear, God is able to get his work done through us and in us for his glory. I had to go back and continue to meditate on this chapter. Lord, what is it? And he had to teach me lessons to be cautious of the things that are happening in my life, to set right before I share this with everyone. Anything that is happening, anything that is really making me try to think more than myself or more than what God has done in my life. So here if you see verse 30th verse, the king reflected and said, is this not Babylon the great, which I myself have built as a royal residence by the might of my power for the glory of my majesty? Notice the ego that is seen here. Which I myself has built by my power for the glory of my majesty. Oh my dear. He was really so proud of his kingdom. The Babylon the Great was really great during those days. Worldly speaking, he needs to be proud of himself. Scripturally, spiritually speaking, no. Why? Verse 31. He was just reflecting to himself in verse 30. Somebody if you can read it, in, I think it's in Telugu language. Because the word in King James Version, other places it says, the king said, the king answered, etc. Please read in Telugu. Verse 30.
తనలో తాను అనుకున్నాను. He was talking to himself. Forget about talking to others. He was just telling, wow, what a wonderful thing it is. Sometimes we think about our own education. Sometimes we think of our family. Sometimes we think of our house or car or whatever that is. Just a thought. He was just thinking, my dear. He was just thinking. What happened in verse 31? While the word was in the king's mouth, a voice came from heaven saying, King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is declared, sovereignty has been removed from you. It is removed from you. So the next one that you want to note it down is ruin. Ruin. What is happening? Ruin. What is this ruin? Now the rain has turned, R-E-I-G-N has turned out to ruin. And here he says, and you will be driven away from the mankind, and your dwelling place will be the beasts of the field. God gave him 12 months to absorb the dream that was given to him. God gave him 12 months for Daniel to tell the dream, interpret the dream, and apply the dream, saying, it is you, Nebuchadnezzar. Be cautious, be watchful. Still after 12 months, he was still thinking. He never expected that that small thought of pride in his life could result from rain to ruin. And it says here, you will be given grass to eat like cattle. He was the one like the big tree giving fruits to entire world. And now he's feeding on grass like cattle. Like cattle he was eating. 7 periods of time will pass over you until, what it says in verse 32, in the New American Standard Bible, it uses one word. And I really like that word because some other translations uses the word no. Until you recognize that Most High God is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whomever he wishes. So the third thing that you want to note down is to recognize. There is a point of recognizing. Until you recognize, you will be feeding on the grass like cattle. Until you recognize, until you know, until you understand that the Most High is ruler of the realm of the mankind. He should be the ruler of your life, my dear. For King Nebuchadnezzar, the entire world was his kingdom. I don't know what your kingdom is. The kingdom in which you are having rule over. In your own kingdom, in your own perspective, in your own circle of influence. What kind of life you and I are living. Here it says in verse 33. Immediately, the word concerning Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from mankind to began eating grass like cattle. And his body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. I don't know if you have seen the picture earlier that I have shown. Look at the rightmost picture. He was eating grass. A king who was lying on his bed at rest with prosperity. Now what happened to the right? Look at his nails and his body. Totally turned out. Some kind of a mental illness that he got. That he went out and started living like a beast. Verse 34. I want you to be very carefully looking at this, my dear. Verse 34. But at the end of that period, I, Nebuchadnezzar, again, see this. It was in his personal own, in his own words he's writing this. It's not somebody else telling. He personally wrote this. At the end of the period, that means he wrote about something that happened in his past. A testimony. I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven. All this while he was looking at all the things of this world.
the things that he has captured and gotten it into hands. Oh, what a great kingdom I'm having. Oh, I have studied this much. I'm getting this score. Oh, I'm doing this job. I'm supposed to get promotion. And many kind of things that we might think of ourselves. I have done so much of hard work. I deserve it. This is my family. And this is my church. This is my country. Many things that may be bothering in our lives that might make us look unto it and forgetting to have our eyes upon heaven. Verse 34. I raise my eyes towards heaven. Notice this. What it says in verse 34. Anyone? Could you please say what it says? And my reason returned to me. And my reason returned to me. Please read in any other language. 34. Manava buddhi kalavadanai. My reason returned to me. The fourth thing that you can note down is return. My reason has returned. Why? When I looked up to heaven. When I looked up to heaven, my reason returned to me. I was able to recognize. I was able to remember verse 27. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 27. I was able to remember that. I returned and said, oh God, it's not mentioned here, but in verse 27, Daniel told him to break away from his sins and from his iniquities. Come out of your sinful nature. The sin of pride that is bothering you. And I blessed the Most High in verse 34 and praised and honored him who lives forever. And he started praising the Lord. Now he was able to recognize all this time I was thinking that I am the ruler. I am great. My dear, maybe the Lord wants to remind each one of us. What is that I that is causing the problem in our lives? Maybe externally, we may be using the word for God's glory. But in the heart of hearts, we might say, wow. Yeah, I did it. But externally, for the sake of telling to everyone, we might use the word very loosely. Let us learn this important principle, my dear. The center of pride is I. P-R-I-D-E. The center letter is I. It is all because of I that pride comes in. The self. I have done it. It is my majesty. It is mine. And then in verse 36, at that time my reason returned to me, and my majesty and splendor were restored to me. The fourth one, restored, verse 36. My reason returned to me, my majesty and splendor were restored to me for the glory of my kingdom. My counselors and my nobles began seeking me out, so I was. Last one, re-established in my sovereignty and surpassing greatness was added to me. Established. God gave him back that small portion of the tree that was kept. The stump of the tree that was kept was for him to come to a realization. God chopped off everything but kept him in order to be able to let him be built back. This time to glorify God, really glorifying God. God is a God of second chances, my dear. Maybe we are being disobedient to God all this while. But God wants to remind us today. Most of the time, we keep hearing about the saving aspect about God, the delivering aspect about God, the performing the promise about God. But remember, God is a God of judgment as well. He knows how to bring a person down. He knows. He totally knows. To the point of abasing them, God is able to humble those who walk in pride. Doesn't matter how much of pride we have. Entire aspect about pride should be gone, my dear. That is why it says in verse 34, shall we all read this together? Whichever language, whichever English version you have,
Shall we all read it aloud, verse 37, all together, please? Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are true, his ways are just, and he is able to humble those who walk in pride. Garvamuga natinchuvarini. Man, I tell you, in Telugu it says natinchuvarini. Sometimes people are hypocrites also. Unable to really recognize how much of pride is in our lives. God wants to let us examine each of our own hearts, including mine. Is there any kind of pride in our lives? Any kind of pride. We need to be cautious about it. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction. A haughty spirit before stumbling. Well, Proverbs 29:23 says, a man's pride will bring him low, but a humble spirit will obtain honor. God doesn't like the proud. He opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. You know the story of Lucifer in Isaiah chapter 14. That fallen star, how he was saying, I will go up. I will be like God. I will make myself. I don't want us to go through that, but if you have your time, you can read Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 and onwards. It talks about how Lucifer, how sin entered because of pride. The first sin that was committed was pride, they say. And it was Lucifer. I don't know what he was proud of to the extent of throwing down, being thrown down from heaven. He was taking care of many aspects of the ministries among the angels. Pride was the cause for his fall. The Lord wants to remind each one of us, my dear, doesn't matter whatever we are involved in, pride is the one that is the cause of everything that happens in our lives. I have a slide I want to show. A lot of text in it. But I thought I cannot cut down on that text. I had to show the entire text to you. And that is this one. Sorry about that. I tried to color code it to make it look better. But Charles Haddon Spurgeon, he once said, be not proud of race, face, place, or grace. Maybe you have heard from various preachers also the same thing. He was the prince of the preachers. What is it? Be not proud of race. You know, I'm from this background, from this family clan, from this caste, from this race. Be not proud of your face. Oh, see how I look. My looks. Watch out, my dear. Be not proud of place. Oh, I'm from so-and-so place, so-and-so country, so-and-so city. No. Be not proud of grace as well. The grace that God has shown towards you, don't be proud of it. Oh, God has given me this, so I'm going to, who are you to talk to me about it? Oh, you are just recently born again. You know me. How many years I've known Christ? What is that? Pride of grace. The life and death of our Lord Jesus Christ are a standing rebuke to every form of pride to which men are liable. Pride of birth and rank. Is not this the carpenter's son? Matthew 13:55. About birth, you know how the kind of birth that Jesus had. Pride of wealth, the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Luke 9:58. Pride of respectability. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Pride of personal appearance, he had no form nor comeliness. Pride of reputation, a friend of publicans and sinners. Pride of learning, how knoweth this man letters having never learned? Pride of superiority, I am among you as he that serveth. Servant attitude. Pride of success, he is despised and rejected of men. Pride of ability, I can of my own self do nothing. He humbled himself to the point of saying, being able to say that, I work with my heavenly Father. I won't do anything by myself, But as the Heavenly Father tells me, pride of self-will, I seek not my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Pride of intellect, as my Father has taught me, I speak. How many times we fall into these prides of whatever be it, whether we have in the form of education, whether in the form of job, whether in the form of family, in the form of possessions. What are we be? Why should we be proud of anything for that matter? God is able to humble those who walk in pride. Today it's a warning sermon more than anything else. I don't know why God wants to remind today. I wanted to take something else, but God really brought me low and he said, no, this is what you need to learn and then preach. I'm humbled through the life of Nebuchadnezzar. As the Bible says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Yourself, humbling yourself is one thing. But if we don't humble ourselves, God knows how to humble us. Let us not take this lightly, my dear. There are many scriptural portions where Jesus himself said, whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. You know that very well. The prayer of the Pharisee and the publican. How he was saying, Lord, I'm not like this fellow. I'm not like this person. I fast and do all of this. And the publican said, have mercy on me, a sinner. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. So today, let us learn this important aspect about the ability of God. Let us let none of us in this room fall into that category. Let there be no pride, not even a single iota of pride in our lives, even in our thought process as well. As a church of the living God, as a local church, my prayer and desire, including myself, is that we will not have any kind of pride in our lives. Otherwise, God knows how to humble us. God knows how to humble us. And he humbled Nebuchadnezzar to the extent of chopping down the tree and letting him go to the leaves and eat the grass. That's when he realized, he recognized, and then he returned to be able to reestablish what he was supposed to be for. God can do it. God is able, and he was able to bring him down, to put him back up. May the Lord bless this word and help us to learn from the life of Jesus Christ. Matthew 11:28 onwards, it says, come unto me, all ye who are weak and heavy laden. I will give you rest. My yoke is not heavy. You learn from me, but because I am meek and lowly in spirit. In New American Standard, it says, I am meek and humble in heart. Jesus Christ is a humble God. Let's learn from him. He humbled himself to the point of the death of the cross. Philippians chapter 2, if you read it. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He humbled himself to the point of dying for us on the cross of Calvary. He gave his body and his blood for us. Let us take this as a warning, as a correction in our lives, and set aside everything that is causing us to feel something great about ourselves. In turn, let us boast in the Lord, saying, it's God who has done in my life. It is God who is giving me this. May God be glorified. Just point to God, anything that you have. Whatever you have right now, remember, heaven rules. He's the ruler in your heart, in your life. We are not the rulers. He's the ruler. May the Lord bless this word. With our eyes closed and our heads bowed down, my dear, let us examine our hearts. I'm not asking you to look at somebody else's life. I'm asking, let us examine our own lives. God is able to humble those who walk in pride. Nebuchadnezzar was able to tell it out of his own personal testimony. And it was recorded in the Bible for us to be able to learn important lessons. I don't know what is happening in our lives. I don't know what is causing us to go through the situations that are happening in our lives. Maybe the pride is the one that is blocking us, that is causing us unable to experience the power of God in our lives. Rather than experiencing God to humble us, let us humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. Let us take this decision, my dear. Anyone sitting here, if the Lord is prompting you, Lord, I do not want to exalt myself in any way possible, whether in my own heart of hearts or within my family or with anyone for that matter. Who am I, Lord? Lord, I want to humble myself. If that is your prayer, my dear, just raise your hand and commit yourself to the Lord. Anyone sitting here, praise the Lord, brother. Praise the Lord, brother, sister. Praise the Lord. We praise the Lord with you because it is a very important principle that we need to learn. The sin of pride is the cause of fall in our lives. In this fall season that we are in, when the leaves are falling, remember, pride goes before fall. And let us not get into that proud attitude. You can lower your hand now. Let us thank the Lord for Jesus Christ who humbled himself to the point of dying for us on the cross. Let us have such a kind of humility in our lives. Let's take part in the Lord's table in a worthy manner. Being able to humble ourselves and say, Lord, just as I am without a plea, I want to come to you, Lord. Lord, humble me, Lord. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. Lord, take away the pride from me. Lord, make me pure in your sight. Lord, I want to surrender myself to you, Lord. I thought whatever I had is something. Lord, nothing, Lord. It's heaven that rules. Let us not take anything for our personal glory. You know, I'm getting reminded of another story in Acts chapter 12. Herod, the king. A lot of people came and said, you are God. Oh, what a great kingdom you have. You are God. And Herod did not say, I'm not God. Only God and above is the only God. He did not say that. And he was eaten by worms. Terrible death because he did not give glory to God. He did not honor God because he took the pride. There are many instances in the word of God, including Nebuchadnezzar. Let us humble ourselves, my dear, and take part in the Lord's table in a worthy manner.